Thanks to Kate Welch for engineering. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's the KBOO Noon News and music after that.
KBOO Community Radio is preparing for our legendary book and record sale. We're currently accepting your donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs. Your discards are another person's treasure, and all sales benefit your community radio station, KBOO. So bring your donations down to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. weekdays. If you've got a larger donation, call us at 503-231-8032. Extension 213 to arrange a time for a volunteer to come pick it up. Questions? 503-231-8032, extension 213, or email volunteer@kboo.org. The last day to donate is Tuesday, November 10th, so don't wait. Bring in those CDs, LPs, books, DVDs right away. And thank you for your support of Community Radio, KBOO, Portland.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland. My name is Courtney Scott, and I will be your host today. Joining us in studio is Sandy Miller from Free the Oregon Zoo Elephants, whose acronym is FOZ, F-O-Z-E. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you, Courtney.
Sandy is here today to talk about FOZ and to tell our audience about a benefit screening for FOZ of my film, From Suffering to Satori. First, tell us about FOZ. What is its mission?
The mission of FOZ is to improve the lives for the Oregon Zoo elephants, and more broadly, to raise awareness about the problem of having elephants in captivity.
What exactly is that problem?
Well, the problem is that elephants, with their natural need to range over miles and miles a day to stay healthy, and, of course, to have a complex social structure, elephants cannot thrive in zoos.
So, Sandy, how did you get involved in this issue?
Well, a couple of years ago, I went to a showing of a film called How I Became an Elephant. And that focused on elephants in Thailand. But after the showing, I heard from a representative of FOZ and started to learn about the elephants in our own backyard.
So I just want to give a little disclosure here. I am also a part of FOZ, and so, of course, I support its mission, and along with Sandy and other dedicated activists, I'm working to achieve its goals. So Metro, who oversees the zoos, submitted a bond measure in 2008 to provide more humane treatment for the elephants. How much was that bond, and what was the result of that bond measure?
Well, the whole bond, which covered more than the elephants, was for $125 million, and it passed overwhelmingly in Portland. The Metro and other representatives sold it to the public as a way to provide a more humane life for the elephants. And it included an expansion of the on-site facility, now called Elephant Lands, as well as a plan for an off-site sanctuary where the elephants would retire when they got older. And the on-site Elephant Lands budget was originally $19 million, and over the period of time between then and now, it has ballooned up to $58 million and counting.
And so what happened to the preserve?
Well, the preserve has been changed in character from a retirement place for the elephants from our zoo to a breeding facility where more elephants can be created to go to other zoos.
Oh, right. And what about circuses? I've heard some of them have been sold to circuses as well.
Certainly. In the past Many, many of the baby elephants born at our zoo were sold to circuses and led absolutely horrible lives. But when Lily, the youngest one, was born in 2012, there was a public outcry in Portland, and the zoo was pretty much forced to buy her contract from the company that rents out elephants for entertainment, Have Trunk Will Travel, so that Lily could stay at the zoo. But certainly in the past, many of our baby elephants have gone to circuses.
And in fact, there's quite a number of elephants that have died that were born at the zoo. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Of 23 baby elephants born at the zoo, starting with Packy, who was born there in 1962, only 9 of those are still alive. I might mention that the lifespan of an Asian elephant in the wild is, on average, 60 years old. And the latest elephant to die at our zoo was Packy's son, Rama, earlier this year, and he was only 32.
Right. So they don't have a really good track record, it sounds like, for successful breeding.
They absolutely do not. It's abysmal.
So I think there was also an article in the Seattle Times, I'm sure you've probably read it, Sandy, called Glamour Beasts. And I think in that article he mentioned that, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, out of every elephant born, at least one dies, or was it two?
It was certainly, on average, more are dying than are being born.
In other words, the breeding is not keeping up with the births.
Right.
So, you know, this kind of leads me to the whole reason for breeding. It seems like a lot of the times the rationale for it is because it's for conservation. So what do you think about that argument? Does it hold any water?
Well, to me, it doesn't, because any elephant born at the zoo will never lead a natural life or be free. The best they can hope for is to go to another zoo. And how many zoos are going to have the conditions to support them in a healthy way? Absolutely none. They need to walk for miles a day.
Exactly. So, in other words, this new on-site expansion is not really providing, would you say, more humane treatment for the elephants as purported by the zoo bond measure?
Absolutely not. I mean, they say it's 6 acres, but if you take away the viewing area for humans and the nighttime barn and so forth, it's closer to 3, 3.5. They have 1.25 acres now, so, well, yes, that's an improvement, but it's not meaningful.
Right. So what do you think that the perception is by the public about this elephant lands? Because what I see, for instance, in all the media is that this is a vast improvement and people are eagerly awaiting its arrival. And this is going to be a place for matriarchal families to grow and thrive. So what do you think can foes do to create a different perception in the public mind?
Very good question. I mean, the facts are out there. I think people need to do their own research. Members of FOES have been leafleting at the zoo. We've been spreading the word. We've had various special events there, such as a memorial for all those elephants I just mentioned that died at the zoo, who were born at the zoo who have died. We did that on Memorial Day. So we are trying to raise public awareness because we feel that that's the only way to get through to Metro, which has really turned a blind eye to all our attempts to show them the facts about elephants in captivity.
Right. And, you know, my experience with Metro when I first got involved with this issue is I didn't even really know what Metro did. And I thought I was somewhat of an educated voter in this area, and I didn't really realize what Metro was or who they were or what their position was with the zoo. And I think when I've been talking to people in the community, they have the same reaction. They said, oh, do you mean city council? Mm-hmm. I said, no. Yeah. Do you mean the county? No. Metro. Well, what is Metro? So I think part of, you know, the FOES mission that I've seen anyway is to really educate people about what their government does and how they are supposed to be accountable to the public.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to take a break right now. We're going to play a little bit from the film, some music from the film. This film was scored by my friend Sig Jones, and it's a really beautiful piece called Liberation Waltz. So we'll take a short break right now, and we'll return to Voices for the Animals in a minute. Welcome back to Voices for the Animals on KBOO. Here with us today is Sandy Miller from Free the Oregon Zoo Elephants. So we did talk a little bit about the expansion of elephant lands. So let's just expand on that a little bit more about how that space is really not adequate for elephants. I don't think most people realize, when people go to the zoo, they see the elephants kind of just standing around. And for instance, when I interviewed the former zoo director of the Oregon Zoo, Tony Vecchio, he told me that elephants pretty much just are couch potatoes, and they really just don't like to do too much anyway. So, you know, what would you say to him about that?
Well, elephants in nature would be walking many miles a day, as I said. Well, that would be in search of food. Perhaps they would if they had a constant supply of food. Pretty much stay in one place, but the point is they've evolved to a point where, in order to feed, they cover many miles a day, and what that does is it keeps their feet healthy because the blood has to circulate. Without that requirement and ability to walk vast distances, they get horrible foot problems, including foot rot. They can die a painful death from foot rot and other foot-related conditions because they're not forced to walk.
Thank you, because I've heard that argument quite a few times from different people that, well, this way they can be assured they're going to have food, so they're much happier and safer than they are in the wild. So that sort of discounts the problem for them, which is a mental and physical problem, where they need mental stimulation because they're one of the most intelligent animals on Earth.
Absolutely.
So we're just kind of like relegating them to a small space and thinking, oh, they should be happy in that space. Mm-hmm. When my experience, even with a dog is going to get bored in a backyard. You need to walk your dog.
Yeah.
They need to see more of the world than this, your little square lot. So I don't quite understand why the zoo and others don't see that connection. It's kind of a mystery, wouldn't you say?
Well, we have to remember that zoos are a money-making organization. For one thing, a baby elephant is a huge draw when it's born and displayed at a zoo. And so they are always looking at the bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really their position comes from that, is what you're saying, and not from true animal welfare.
Well, and we're coming out of a history, hundreds of year history of elephants being displayed in zoos in tiny enclosures. I just think it's time to enter a new era. And if you cannot keep animals in healthy conditions, not keep them at all. I might mention that last year, Scientific American had an editorial saying that of all the animals, orcas and elephants, because of their size, because of their social complexity, because of their intelligence, should not be in captivity. And I think it's kind of telling that recently SeaWorld down in California has been forbidden to breed any more orcas in captivity. And frankly, I would like to see that extended to the elephants and to see that no more elephants are bred to live lives of misery, stress, and boredom behind bars as they have for so long.
And I think, in fact, that is the FOA's mission, isn't it? The
yes,
number one mission.
Absolutely, because as I said, No elephant born in a zoo, this zoo or any other, will ever lead a free life. So the zoo's supposed conservation mission is bogus on that front. They should take the $58 million that Elephant Lands is now costing and give that to the native area where they belong, Southeast Asia, Africa. Think how far that money could go, rather than breeding more elephants here at home.
Right. Okay, so I know you mentioned a couple things that FOS is doing, but could you just expand on that a little bit? For instance, I know there's a birthday party, or at least there used to be every year, uh-huh, for Packy. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, we have gone annually to demonstrate at the birthday party for Packy. He wasn't actually at his own party this past year. Packy turned 53, and he has multiple health conditions, including tuberculosis. He's in quarantine, the foot conditions, and other things. He wasn't even, trotted out for a ceremonial smashing of his birthday cake this year.
Right. And in fact, he's still in isolation, isn't
yes,
that right?
Yes, I believe he is, yes.
So that, I want to point out that that is not uncommon. There are quite a few zoos that have had the issue of TB and herpes virus, which the herpes virus is actually more deadly, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the TB means that they have to be isolated. They have to be on a regimen of drugs. And so Packy right now, from what I understand, is still on these drugs, and they're causing a lot of side effects. One of the side effects is it destroys the liver.
Yes.
So the drugs could actually kill Packy more than the TB, from what I understand, especially for an old elephant.
That's right.
Like Packy. So you mentioned foot disease. Tell us a little bit about, I think there was one elephant there, her name was Pet. What exactly happened to Pet? Do you remember?
I am thinking she was euthanized.
She was.
With her foot disease.
Yes.
As I say, that must be a painful, horrible
yes.
way to go.
I'll just remind our audience about Pet. I think most people might have even forgotten about Pet, but she was euthanized because she did have foot disease, and her foot disease was so bad that she had to actually wear a shoe. And the shoe, even with the shoe, she had to prop herself up with her trunk, because she couldn't put weight on her foot. It was so horrible. And so I really want people to understand when they say, well, the zoo is a good place because at least they're not being killed in the wild. You have to compare and contrast that to the kind of life they lead in captivity. And Pet is a perfect example of someone who lived for many years, unfortunately, in a lot of pain, as did Rama. Rama suffered an enormous amount of pain. In fact, they just simply couldn't find enough pain medication for him towards the end, supposedly. And the other issue I want to bring up, we're going to talk about Packy next, because I think most people do know about Packy. But one of the elephants they may not know about is Hugo, who I believe was Packy's... No, that wasn't Packy's dad. Thung Law was Packy's dad. Mm-hmm. But Hugo was another male elephant. And there are a lot of problems for male elephants in zoos. And Hugo was one of those examples. When they go into must, do you want to explain a little bit about must?
Well, yeah, that's a condition which male elephants go into where they become way more aggressive than usual. A male elephant is powerful to begin with, but under the influence of must, they're very hard to control. And so another reason to stop the breeding is that half of the baby elephants born are going to be male elephants, and you have to have special facilities to be able to handle them.
Exactly.
And they have to be separated from the females and from each other. So,
right. In fact, the former zoo director told me is that they're managed as separate herds.
Yeah.
So if you've got four males, you're going to have to find a way to keep them isolated from each other at times, at least, especially during must.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just want to finish off the story with Hugo. Is from what I understand, Hugo, one of the ways they control elephants during must is to deprive them of food. So he was deprived of food to the degree that when he died, they did a necropsy, and he basically had zero body fat. So that kind of tells you the problem with males in zoos. And the problem for females, of course, is that they're very social, and they really need family. And that's one thing the zoo tries to provide is family. But once again, it isn't really a naturally chosen family. It's artificial breeding. So what can you tell us about a little bit about that so people know that breed? Because people say, well, they just breed. They go out there and, you know, mate and have a family.
No, absolutely not. It's artificial insemination, and the female elephant is confined in what is called a rape rack and inseminated sometimes 30 times in an attempt to get her pregnant. It's no fun for the male or the female elephant.
Right. So we talked a little bit about Packy, how Packy is kind of the rock star here at the Oregon mm-hmm. Zoo, and he's right now in isolation from TB. So, and you talked a little bit about Metro, but what I know that people, infos have been going to Metro and asking for Metro to free Packy as being one of the goals of FOES. What is the result of that? What is being done for that? What has been done to help Packy?
Well, what we would love to see for Packy after 53 years of confinement in the Oregon Zoo is for him to finally get to a sanctuary. There is a sanctuary in California which does take male elephants, unlike one in Tennessee which only accepts females. And we would like to see Packy go there. But we are a private group. We have no standing, as it were. And so we have been asking Metro to just contact this sanctuary, Performing Animal Welfare Sanctuary in California, PAWS, and see about getting Packy there. He's at the zoo. He's quarantined. No visitor to the zoo will ever see Packy. Why not give him a chance to live out the rest of his life in comfort and freedom?
Exactly. So, in other words, Metro hasn't exactly opened the door to that idea yet.
Metro is completely unresponsive.
Okay, so, you know, I do want to mention that Metro did initiate an independent review board to assess the feasibility of this so-called preserve, which has now been called what?
I think they call it the Remote Elephant Center, RMC, whatever.
REC, I think you're right. Yeah, Remote Elephant Center, and it's going to be used for breeding. So at FOES, we don't support that anymore, right?
Absolutely not. When it was the idea of a sanctuary back in 2008, we were all for it. But this is a complete reversal of the idea and the goal that we have for the elephants.
You know, and I just want to say that I was at the Los Angeles Zoo when I was making this film, and I did get a chance to get pretty close to Billy, who's their sole male elephant there. And it was pretty amazing because at the Los Angeles Zoo, you can actually get within a few feet of the elephant. So he actually came right up to me. And that is pretty awesome. You know, so I started thinking, well, you know, I understand why people want to be close to an elephant to see this magnificent creature up close. But then after I stayed for about an hour, I saw what he did. And what he did was he paced across his, he has about a 1 acre yard for himself. He's separated from the two females. And after about 10 minutes of doing that, 10 to 20 minutes, he went to a corner of the lot, turned his back to the visitors, and started bobbing his head back and forth for about an hour. And when I asked the zookeeper about it, he said, oh, that's the way he came. He came here at 4 years old like that. So, you know, I quickly realized, despite my initial, you know, thrill at seeing this elephant, I realized that it's not much of a thrill for Billy. And as human people, as being people who should be humane, that's part of our name, human, right? Humane. We should at least exert some kind of compassion, wouldn't you say? I mean, and say, yes, it's great to see a tiger. It's great to see an elephant. But is that really kind thing to do to an animal, keep them in captivity for their entire lives?
Well, absolutely. I totally agree. And people may not understand that the pacing, the head bobbing, the swaying, that's what's called stereotypical behavior, and it's a sign of severe stress.
And, you know, and that comes, I just want to mention that Sandy just mentioned that point, and that comes from an elephant expert. You know, we want to make it clear that Sandy and I, we don't claim to be elephant experts, so in case anyone had that idea. But this idea about the stereotypical behavior comes from elephant experts, am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, other zoo animals also exhibit it, the big cats, the bears. Yeah. You'll see them just pacing back and forth for hours and hours. It's a way, I think, to comfort themselves or try to with these, you know, living in this severely unnatural situation.
So we just want to make clear, because a lot of zoo visitors will say, oh, well, the elephants are dancing.
Yeah.
So I just want to make clear that that's not dancing.
No, and anyone can just look it up online, stereotypical behavior.
Right. So we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to listen to another song from the film From Suffering to Satori. This one is written and performed by Seth Martin, and it is used to illustrate how young animals who are brutalized in animal industries. Welcome back to Voices for the Animals. Sandy Miller from Free the Oregon Zoo Elephants is here. Sandy, what do you think has to happen to get more people to understand the reality of life for these elephants and how zoos really are not the right place for them? I know we touched on this before, but it's just kind of a dilemma that goes around in my mind all the time, and I'm sure yours as well.
Absolutely. It's a great question. You know, letters to the editor, editorials, we've had those published. There was a great series of investigative reporting on Coin News last year about the elephants at the zoo. Excellent series. Frankly, I'm kind of at a loss. I mean, the information's out there. I will say the zoo has a tremendous PR machine, which is very active in putting out the party line. And don't forget, almost all of us grew up with zoos. I think you have to come to a certain moment of enlightenment, and that's very hard for a lot of people because it's a part of their cherished family memories. So I'm open to suggestions.
I think you're right. It's just a matter of getting it out to more and more people so that we can turn the tide. And that does take time. I mean, right now, circuses. People have finally woken up about circuses. Ringling Brothers has retired their elephants, or is going to retire their elephants. The whole country of Netherlands has banned all animals in circuses, as well as, Mexico, right? And I'm sure there are others that you can think of.
Yeah, it's definitely a movement. And I might mention that at least 20 major zoos in the U.S. have closed their elephant exhibits. Unfortunately, a lot of the elephants have gone to other zoos, which would not be our choice. Obviously, we would love them to all go to sanctuary.
Okay. Do you see any? So that's kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, because there is a movement. It's changing. Films are coming out. We just had an interview here on KABU about Tyke, the elephant who ran away from the circus and who was shot dead in the streets of Honolulu, and that woke a lot of people up. So I think hopefully it's happening. So let's talk now about the benefit screening of the film. When is it happening?
It's Sunday, November 1st at the Mission Theater at 7 p.m.
Right, and it's the doors open at 6, I want to mention that, so people can get there early. We're going to have a table set up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you get all the information you want from us there at the table. And we're asking a $7 to $10 donation, but no one will be turned away.
Right, and I just want to mention that this film highlights the plight of captive elephants, but it also shines a light on the plight of all captive animals, and how forming a bond with animals can enrich all of our lives.
And I might just break in there to say, because Courtney doesn't want the, you know, compliments. She's so shy. That it's a beautiful film. And although Packy is featured, there is a great connection with other animals and other situations. It really pulls it all together nicely. I hope that everybody will come to join us on the 1st.
Thank you, Sandy. So thank you for joining us on Voices for the Animals. See you at the film. And thanks for joining us on KBOO Portland.
And thanks for listening to the Monday Radio Zine. And stay tuned for the Noontime Jamboree following this noon headlines.
And now the KBOO News at noon for Monday, October 26, 2015. In local news, Portland Mayor Charlie Hales is seeking almost $600,000 in new funding to hire up to 75 new police officers. The $600,000 would be used to hire 11 background investigators whose job would be to screen new police applicants. The mayor announced the plan amid a wave of gang violence and shootings this year in the city. There have been almost 160 gang shootings this year, a 45% increase over last year. In health news, the World Health Organization is set to label processed meats as carcinogenic to humans. Labeling processed meats as a Group 1 carcinogen places them in the same category as tobacco smoking and alcohol. The study conducted by the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer included researchers from 10 different countries. The research found that each 50-gram portion of processed meat consumed daily increases the risk of developing cancer by 18%. Any meat that has been flavor-enhanced, smoked, cured, or salted is considered to be processed. Bacon, ham, pastrami, corned beef, hot dogs, hamburgers, and processed turkey are all included on the list, along with many other meat types. The WHO report also